Today we are going to continue with this sutta, Avijja Sutta. Avijja is ignorant. So this is the sutta on ignorant. In fact, the whole of the teaching, we are most concerned with this particular word, Avijja. Once there is Avijja means you have ignorant. You have ignorant means you do not have the Dhamma understanding. You do not understand the truth, the nature's law that governs life and existence. So basically ignorant is ignorant of the truth. So what are the truths that we have failed to understand? Mainly the Four Noble Truths. These are the essence of the Buddha's teaching that we need to develop. So as a Buddhist, we understand that there are three stages of Dhamma cultivation, or three phases of Dhamma. The first phase is what? What must we do? First phase of Dhamma. The Buddha called it Pariyatti. What is that? The learning of the teaching. So you go through Pariyatti, which is the learning of the teaching. Then after that, you put it into practice. Pati. Then the third phase of Dhamma is, this one is phases of Dhamma. Pati-veda. So Pariyatti is the learning of the teaching. That's the learning of the teaching. We can start with the Four Noble Truths, the essence of the Buddha's teaching. This Four Noble Truths is most important because according to the Buddha, these are the truths that can make us enlightened or noble ones. Noble truths are truths that can awaken the beings, the living beings, and make them enlightened. And what is enlightenment according to the Buddhist teaching? Enlightenment is a knowledge or a wisdom. Actually, it's beyond the intellectual knowledge. It is a wisdom or an awakening that enables that being not to be deluded, or enable him or her to root out completely avijja, ignorance. So when there is no more ignorance, means he understands the truth, the nature's law that governs life and existence, then he is free from all suffering, misery, unhappiness, and problems related to life and existence. That's why these Four Noble Truths, they are very unique truths. They are like the secret of life, the essence of the Buddha's teaching. And like I always said, all of truth, mundane and supramundane, they are all there. Whatever you need to understand about life and existence, they are all covered under this Four Noble Truth. That's the reason why it's so unique and it's so beautiful. So Pariyatti phase, we need to understand this. Then from there, we expand it. Then only we can come to the cultivation. That's why be patient and take time to learn, to develop the understanding. So this one, phase one, is the learning of the teaching. So you can learn it, develop it, it will help you. That's why I always emphasize, cultivation or meditation is to be developed through an understanding. Without Pariyatti, you cannot understand. And this understanding, initially, of course, you start with something like theoretical understanding or theoretical knowledge. But from that theoretical knowledge, you will have to reflect, contemplate, and put it into practice to develop the true wisdom. So this second phase of Dhamma is very important. So I will just quickly run through the Four Noble Truths so that you all can be reminded of the teaching. It's like a revision, because after so long without the physical class, I think we need to go back to some basic clear understanding. But now, with your background and all of your cultivation early on, it can help you to develop the clear understanding much better compared to last time. Last time, a lot of conditioning from the whatever method, technique, teachers and teaching that you all have developed during the early phases of your cultivation, that one actually, in a way, it is causing certain aspect of rigidity to your brain, or I should say conditioning. It conditions you in such a manner that when you hear the true teaching, you don't have an open mind to listen. It prevents listening. It prevents comprehension. Because when you listen from memory, from your views, opinion and conditioning, then you are very concerned about right and wrong. You compare with what you have been taught. Then whatever that is being described or expounded or proclaimed in a manner which reflects the truth, you will not be able to have an open mind to receive it because you haven't heard before. And that is where the complication is. That's why I say in a way there are certain rigidity that develops through the conditioning. That's why most Buddhists, or I should say cultivator of the way of Dharma practitioner, they fail to comprehend or receive truth through hearing is because they have a conditioning within their brain, which allow them to define what Dhamma is based on what they have read, heard, or thought Dhamma is. So when you approach learning from that particular viewpoint, you fail to learn. To learn, you have to start with a clean slate. Assume you don't know anything. Then listen. Why I say this Four Noble Truths is like the secret of life. All of truth is there, mundane and super mundane. If I understand this Four Noble Truths, like I understand the secret of life, I know how to live life, then I know how to develop the appropriate understanding towards developing the noble life, so that I can be free of all suffering. I can realize the enlightenment that the Buddha has actually expounded or proclaimed. So first of all, the first Noble Truth talks about the realities of life and existence. He said, within our existence, the whole universe, there is this Noble Truth or Dukkha, or literally translated into English as suffering, or they sometimes use the word unsatisfactoriness. So this word suffering and unsatisfactoriness is just a partial explanation of what that word dukkha is. That word dukkha is actually very, very extensive, very profound. When you cannot get what you want, there is dukkha. Not necessarily when you are miserable, suffering, then you are in dukkha. No. When you don't feel good, when you are not satisfied with what happened, again you suffer. But you cannot see that suffering. It's just like when you cannot get what you want, or when things don't go your way, when the reality that happened doesn't match your craving or your desire. So all these are also defined as dukkha. So sometimes when you attach and have good life experience, it can also lead to dukkha, because you attach to the good food, to the good relationship, you attach to the good music, to everything that you hold on to dearly, like your success, your reputation, your wealth, everything. But this is a conditioned world, the Buddha said. When conditions change, things change. You may lose them. The moment you lose them, dukkha manifests. It manifests to torment you, to cause you suffering, misery, unhappiness. Sometimes you develop envy, jealousy, hatred, or fear, worry, anxiety. So these are all mind states that have suffering. So dukkha is a very, very expansive word that can only be understood through cultivation and through going into life realities. When you have that Dhamma with you, then you will understand the full spectrum of that word. So what the First Noble Truth is trying to tell us is, he said, in this universe, when you come and arise as a living being, you will have to confront this life reality as long as you live long enough. And what are these life reality? In fact, it covers all aspects of our life. The first four, of course, cover most aspects of our life. He said, birth, old age, sickness, and death. These are the reality that will happen to us, because the moment we are born into this world, old age, sickness, and death, that phase will follow, provided you live long enough. And he said, each and every of these reality, birth, old age, sickness, and death, are suffering. In order to develop the understanding, we need to reflect and contemplate. Through the first turning, after hearing the proclamation, why did the Buddha say that? How can I develop the understanding? And then you reflect, you contemplate. What is birth? And then from there, the recollection from memory or whatever, if you are mindful and aware, creative, contemplative, then the understanding will surface as you recollect, reflect, contemplate. When you reach that particular phase, you develop the understanding. Suddenly, like, you have the understanding, you awaken to it, you insight into it. In the past, why we can't do it is because you take for granted what life is. You see birth everywhere, you never contemplate on birth, you never know how birth can lead to suffering. When it is a normal birth, maybe there is occasion for joy. Yeah? Birth of a newborn baby. Yeah? Then looking forward to the new moon day. Yeah? And also to becoming parents, grandparents, and all those things. But when there is complication that comes with the birth, when the life of the baby or the mother are at risk, then when it's an abnormal birth, birth with defects and all those things, it will lead to suffering. So similarly, after going through life, we also can reflect and contemplate on aging. As we age, as we grow old, as we decay, we encounter a lot of other things. One of them is disease, sickness. That's why old age will lead to disease and sickness. That's why old age followed by sickness, disease. Then sometimes injury. They are all realities of life and existence. And every moment, every instant, until death, there is suffering, dukkha, all the way. If you know how to meditate, you can see the paticca samuppada of becoming and birth occurring every moment, every instant. We are actually aging, physically aging, mentally stress and aging. If you don't have the Dhamma, if you don't have the mindfulness, the awareness and the heedfulness to understand all these things. So these first four realities, they apply to all living beings. The four phases. It's like when you are born into this world, you grow up into a child. Then from there you reach adolescent. Then after that you experience decay, aging. Then in between you experience sickness, disease, injury, or whatever. Then finally, death. Death, nobody can predict. Some die very young, at birth, they die. Some live very long. In between, there are also many. So this four reality is for us to reflect, contemplate, and develop the understanding. Then we move on. When we cannot get what we want, when things don't go your way, this can also lead to suffering. So separation from your loved one, your prized possession, from the thing you hold on to dearly, can also lead to suffering. Because that is what separation is. They don't really belong to you. They are all dependent, originating, condition arising, cause of not. Even this physical body do not belong to us. So do not be deluded by it. Develop mindfulness, heedfulness, awareness to understand clearly who you are, what you are. Then after that, number six is when you are with people whom you don't like. Of course, that one we have gone through a lot of example. It can be your in-laws, your step-parents or whatever. Stepmother, stepfather, and also your in-law. Then it can also, during career environment, your bosses who are not reasonable, not friendly, management by harassment and fear. They harass you, they put fear in you, and they actually stress you out. Then, very difficult environment like child bully, racial discrimination, racial abuse, and many other things happening everywhere, even in the state. Shooting and all those things. Yeah. Then the seventh one is when things don't go your way. When your expectations in life are not met, you develop unhappiness. And very severe case can also lead to deep, very deep unhappiness, leading to what they call sorrow, lamentation. So all these are the reality. Then the Buddha finally summarizes it. In short, it is due to our self-delusion, born of sakkayadity, or ignorant, this word ignorant, avijja, that condition us to grasp and cling onto our five aggregate of form and mind. As a human being, we have a physical body. We have a mind trapped inside. And the mind is subdivided into four aggregates. You can feel, there's a feeling aggregate. You can perceive, there's a perception aggregate. You can create mental activity, mental states, mental volition. This is also another aggregate of mind. Then finally, you can become conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. So when you attach and cling to that fine aggregate, which we call a human being, then we have sakkayadity, delusion. Then this becomes grasping aggregate, upadana khandas. And the Buddha said, the moment you grasp through sakkayadity and ignorance, you suffer. And that is the last reality, and that one cover all of your life, all of your existence, everything that happened in life. So we try to recall what life realities and problems are. So most of us, after we are born, of course we go through the four-phase process of growing up, maturing, and finally develop the sickness and die. So the first issue is, of course, health problem. Every one of us, by now, we should know what is health problem. Yeah. Then we have financial problem. That's why we work very hard, we study very hard to achieve financial freedom. Yeah. Then as we grow up, we come out to work, we develop relationship. We also develop relationship problem, career-related problem, work-related problem, home-related problem, problem with our neighbors, problem with our in-law, our loved one, and sometimes our friends or people whom we may not like. So these are all the realities. Then when you travel, there are a lot of other reality, but all covered under the first noble truth. So that first noble truth already explained to us the reality of life and existence, the whole spectrum of it. And when you live life, if you are not clear that all this can lead to suffering, if you don't have this understanding and the teaching, then you suffer without knowing why you suffer. That's why the first noble truth, the reality of life and existence, is very important. It's a very big topic. You have to understand it. After you understand it, then the Buddha continues. He said, there is a second noble truth that explains to you clearly why you suffer, the cause of its arising or suffering. So if you know what suffering is, then you know the cause, which is craving, born of sacrality and ignorance, then you can manage your life better, isn't it? True or not? After you know what suffering is and the cause behind, how to reverse it? Means, don't cling, don't grasp. But this one is not through a negation. You cannot say, I don't want to suffer. That doesn't free you from suffering. The Buddha said you need to develop wisdom to break this vijja. You have to break this vijja. Avijja means you have to develop vijja or wisdom. You have to develop wisdom to break this avijja. Then only you can liberate your mind, free your mind, and come to terms with all these realities without having to cling onto them, grasp onto them through delusion and ignorance. That is what this teaching is all about. So this first two noble truths covers all the mundane aspects of life that you need to know. Then, after that, the Buddha says, there is a third noble truth that talks about the possibility of enlightenment. Enlightenment in the now, here and the now, is possible. You don't have to wait till you die. That's why under the third noble truth is it the cessation of suffering or dukkha, which is nibbana, can be realized in the here and the now. That is the third noble truth. That third noble truth will give you the hope, the understanding that this can be realized. It is not a theory. It's not something that has been promised to you, and you can only know whether it is true or not after you die. No need. He said, if you cultivate based on what he has taught you, you can develop that enlightenment in the here and the now. Yeah. Then, he didn't even stop there. That is the supramundane aspect, to realize enlightenment, the supramundane. There is a fourth noble truth, is it? He even explained to you how to cultivate it. He said, if you are to cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the cessation of all dukkha, leading to the enlightenment, the realization of Nibbana. So the fourth noble truth is the cultivation. The Noble Eightfold Path, the noble quality of a noble one, a noble enlightened being. That's why it's called Noble Eightfold Path. When you cultivate that, you have the embodiment of all these noble qualities of a noble one, enlightened one. And the last two are the supramundane aspect of life. You can develop the training to realize the third noble truth and the fourth noble truth. Then you become an Arya. You become an enlightened being. And you can leave the third phase of Dhamma, which is Pativeda. You reap the fruit of your hard work. Means you can live the life of an enlightened being. Yeah. And this is the best phase of your life, Pativeda. Best phase of your life. So this one is putting it into cultivation. Practice or cultivation. Okay, so far, the Four Noble Truth. Okay, clear? So from here, means you have developed clear understanding of what is the teaching, Pariyatti. But you haven't put it into practice, Patipatti. So how are we going to put this into practice? Of course, the initial contemplative wisdom is part of cultivation, but not the penetrative insight that awakens. It's not the real cultivation yet. So the real cultivation is this Avijja Sutta. If you look at the Avijja Sutta, the table you have, then you will come to understand what the Buddha meant. So now we together develop the understanding. There are two sequence described in Avijja Sutta. The ignorance sequence followed by the enlightenment sequence. So we start with the ignorance sequence. The first factor within the ignorance sequence is of course avijja, isn't it? So there is this avijja. And how did avijja arise? What is the nutriment for avijja to arise? You have to develop this understanding. Just now I say avijja is what? Ignorant of what? Huh? Ignorant of what? Huh? So far forgot. Ignorant of? This teaching. Okay? So from there, you start. If you are ignorant of this teaching, means what? You don't understand this teaching. And what did this teaching teach? How did you become heedless? Because of what? The five? The mental hindrance. So the nutriment for avijja is the five mental hindrance. So this one, the five mental hindrance, is the root cause of avijja. Where this avijja is related to heedlessness. The heedless are as if dead. So heedlessness manifests because of avijja. And when you are heedless, the mental hindrance keep on arising. And the reason for the mental hindrance to arise is because you do not understand the Four Noble Truths. You do not understand the opposite five spiritual faculties. You can follow. When you don't have the teaching, you don't have the spiritual faculty, then the opposite five, which are the mental hindrance, keep on arising. True or not? When these five mental hindrance arise, what will happen to you? The new treatment for this is what? The three type of wrong conduct, isn't it? Greed, hatred, delusion, the three type of wrong conduct keep on arising. So the three wrong conduct. And the new treatment for this three wrong conduct is what? You lack sense restraint, correct or not? If you got sense restraint, you are mindful, aware, how can you have the three type of wrong conduct? These are wrong thought, wrong speech, and wrong action. Do you understand? So, lack of sense restraint. And what is the nutriment for lack of sense restraint? Because you don't have mindfulness and clear comprehension. Because you don't cultivate sati, mindfulness. You cannot be aware that the evil roots are there. You cannot be aware of the transgression that has happened The paticca samuppada that has actually conditioned you into negativity. So this lack of sense restraint is the result of lack of sati sampajana. Mindfulness and clear comprehension. Then when you don't have mindfulness and clear comprehension, what happened to you? The new treatment for it is what? You don't have yoniso manasikara, understand what? Because you cannot see. You cannot see things as they are. You cannot be aware. So how can you have wisdom at the moment of sense experience? That's why this one is a yoniso manasikara. It's not yoniso manasikara. A yoniso manasikara. And how did this a yoniso manasikara manifest? Because you don't have one. Yeah? Of course, but before that is what? You don't have faith in the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, the faith in the Triple Gem. Because you lack that faith, that's why you cannot cultivate this teaching. So this one, the lack of faith in the Triple Gem is the new treatment. Then the lack of faith is due to what? The new treatment for it is what? You didn't? Not listening to the true Dhamma. So not listening to the true Dhamma is the cause. And the last one is on. Where you don't have the right kayanimitas, true Dhamma friends. So lack of true Dhamma friends. So you look backward, it all starts from here. The lack of true Dhamma friends will condition you not to have the opportunity to listen to the true Dhamma. And because of that, you cannot develop the faith in the Triple Gem. And because you cannot develop the faith in the Triple Gem, you will not cultivate the spiritual faculty. You cannot root out the mental hindrance. You cannot see things as they are. You cannot reflect. You cannot contemplate. That's why the initial wisdom, ayoniso manasikara, arises. But if you can develop the wisdom, second turning, and meditate to insight into the phenomena, the third turning, then this yoniso manasikara will arise. When yoniso manasikara arise, you will develop sati sampajana, means your daily mindfulness become very stable. At the moment of sense experience, this wisdom, this understanding will shine forth, will prompt you. That's how you develop the cultivation and the training. So now we go to the enlightenment sequence. So the enlightenment sequence is the reverse of all this. So it starts off with having Dhamma friends. So this one will give rise to the condition for you to listen to the true Dhamma. So after having Dhamma friends, condition to listen to true Dhamma. After you have the condition to listen to true Dhamma, what happened? The third one is what? The next one is what? You will have faith in the Triple Gem. Triple Gem. Then after that, when you have faith in the Triple Gem, you will start to cultivate. You will start to develop heedfulness, mindfulness. That's why all cultivation need mindfulness, heedfulness, stability of mindfulness in order to understand what is going on within your own form of mind. How you are being conditioned into negativity. How the mental hindrance comes to be. Because they don't have the five spiritual faculty. So when you cultivate the Dhamma, you cultivate the spiritual faculties, then that five spiritual faculty will root out the mental hindrance. Then when the mental hindrance is gone, what happens is your mind transforms into a meditative mind. Why? Because the mental spiritual faculties, they are all meditative state. Saddha is faith in the Buddha and his teaching. When you have sadha, you are very calm. Your faith is very strong. Your mind is calm, peaceful, collected. There is no doubt. That's why faith will make you peaceful, calm. Then when you have virya, it's a spiritual tenacity or zeal to keep you awake, to cultivate. You will not be sleepy. Then the third spiritual faculty take over, sati, accumulating or stabilizing into samadhi. So with sati and samadhi, you keep on seeing things as they are. That's why wisdom come to be. So with that cultivation of the Dhamma, the faith in the triple gem will lead to the cultivation of the Dhamma. And when you cultivate the Dhamma, it will give you what they call a yoniso manasikara. So this initial wisdom or yoniso manasikara is very important. Once you start the cultivation, it will rise. That's why you have to link all the essential Dhamma that the Buddha has teached. What constitutes evil? You must contemplate, reflect, understand them. Then develop this understanding so that you will know what other thing you need to avoid and what other thing you need to cultivate. The advice of the Buddha, avoid all evil. Through what? Cultivating, keeping the precept. You have to understand what constitutes evil, then be mindful of them. Then the five ways to abandon all the wrong thought, wrong speech, and wrong action. It is from there you develop the cultivation. Then after that, when this yoniso manasikara arises, the initial, then it's very easy to cultivate. Why? Because at the moment of sense experience, this one will pop up. It will pop up. This one spontaneously pop up and tell you, sabbe sankara anicang, sabbe sankara dukkang, sabbe dhamma anatta. Then all of the other related teaching, dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. Whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions behind. So all this become clear to you. Then learn to see things as they are. So even all the important pointer or important Dhamma that I share with you all, like people are just the way they are. Deluded people do deluded things. Selfish people do selfish things. Ignorant people do ignorant things. When you can accept them for what they are, you are at peace. That's why your mind will not stir. It will not create the mental hindrance. Because there is no more avijja. There is just yoniso manasikara. And because of this, you would continue to develop the stability of what they call sati sampajana, mindfulness and clear comprehension. So this sati sampajana is very important. Yeah? When you have this sati sampajana, it will lead to the next one, which is what? Yeah? Sense? If you don't have this daily mindfulness very stable, you cannot restrain your senses. You cannot keep your precepts. So this is how the cultivation is to be developed. So sense restraint is the most important. Without sense restraint, you are not able to have the three types of right conduct. You understand? Eh? You know what are the three types of right conduct? What are they? They are noble eightfold path factor. Right thought, right speech means right thought, right speech, and right action. Because this can only come about after you have sense restraint. So this is what the Buddha called three types of right conduct. After these three types of right conduct, what will happen? When you are incapable of arising this, you are at least a sotapan or a sakadagami already. That's why they say the sotapan minimum, they will keep the five precepts. They will not violate the five precepts. And for a cultivator to have this ability to have sense restraint leading to the ability to have this three type of right conduct, which is right thought, right speech, and right action, means you are already an Arya. That's why in the Satipatthana Sutta, what did the Buddha say? If you cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness, it will lead to at least realizing anagami, if there is still a little bit of avijja. Otherwise, you will become an arahant. That's why Satipatthana Sutta, the four foundation of mindfulness, is the next cultivation. Four foundation. So this is the reason why you cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness after that. And without sati sampajana, you cannot cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness. Because under the Satipatthana Sutta, the Buddha said, after overcoming covetousness and greed, then only you cultivate kaya nupassana, vedana nupassana, citta nupassana, followed by dhamma nupassana. What is the meaning of after overcoming covetousness and greed? Means you already have the initial wisdom. You don't have craving and grasping anymore because you already have sense restraint. You cannot do all those things anymore. Then you are able to constantly arise the three types of right conduct. That's why after overcoming covetousness and greed, means the initial wisdom will prevent you from suffering, no more grief. Covetousness is craving, desire, and all those things. The sense restraint and the three types of right conduct will prevent that. That's why in the Avijja Sutta, the enlightenment sequence is not that. Then he said you cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness. If you cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness correctly, it will lead to the next step, which is what? Check the thing. The seven factors of enlightenment is that. You correctly cultivate, this one will lead to the arising of the seven factors of enlightenment. This right after that is enlightenment in the here and the now. So this is how the enlightenment cycle come to be. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Having Dhamma friend is 1. Condition to listen 2. Faith 3. 4. 5, oh sorry, these two is the same. 6, 7, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, oh, 6. Sense restraint is 6. That's 7, 8, 9, 10. Enlightenment cycle has 10 sequence. The other one has only 9. So, based on these two sutta, the Four Noble Truths and the Avijja Sutta, you will know how to develop the cultivation and the practice. Because without having this clear understanding, you will be trapped. You will be trapped. So Avijja Sutta is something that the cultivator of the Dhamma must understand. You cannot develop the understanding, then too bad. Not easy to awaken. Okay? So with this, any question? You want to ask to make clear, you can. Because long time I didn't bring out this back already, 2 years plus. Then suddenly the first physical class, I took this back out. Then I saw the note inside there. Last time I was supposed to share and distribute, but I didn't. So that's why today maybe there is appropriate good condition. For you all to develop the understanding. Because this Avijja Sutta is very important, like I explained to you earlier. That's why I put it into the website. When I saw the Avijja Sutta, actually by chance, when I was doing the website, when Brother Lau, Sui An's ex-boss, when he told me, he said, Virtue, I need you to write the about this website. What your website do. So I have to reflect and contemplate. And miraculously, all the things that I wrote in the website, within one day come out. Then when I was doing all this, suddenly the internet popped up this Avijja Sutta. I haven't heard of it before. Then I was curious, how come got Avijja Sutta? Then I want to know what is Avijja Sutta. I can tell you. You don't believe me. You go and Google Avijja Sutta, you cannot understand. Even a lot of monks inside there cannot understand. The way they explain is all totally not linked, not relevant. They have the story, the sutta, but they cannot explain all this. They cannot link all this. So the Avijja Sutta, unless you have the Dhamma or you have awakened, you cannot understand. And the Buddha is so wise. That's why you realize he never contradicts himself. And a lot of people have been asking this question now during the Four Foundations of Mindfulness sharing when I teach. Chui, especially he asked, he said, "Brother Teo, why Anagami and Arahan? Why not Sotapanna and Sakadagami?" I said, "Cannot. Because this one is after overcoming covetousness and grief." That time I already knew. After overcoming covetousness and grief, then only you can cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness. A lot of people don't understand. They thought straight away go into Satipatthana, four foundations of mindfulness. Why? Because the opening statement, this is the only way for the overcoming of sorrow and lamentation, overcoming of grief and all those things. So, Ekayano Bhikkhave Bhikkhu, monks, this is the only way to overcome sorrow and lamentation, to be free from suffering. And what is it? Namely, the four foundations of mindfulness. Correct. That statement is correct. Because this is the only way to root out all avijja and become arahan or anagami. So, under the sutta, the opening statement or the first foundation, kayanupassana, there is always this statement, after overcoming covetousness and grief. And nobody can explain it. They just give some form of very like quiet type of explanation, which is to me not an explanation at all. And they go and use their own interpretation of what that sentence means. But in actual fact, the Buddha is very clear. You look at the Avijja Sutta, it ties up with the Satipatthana Sutta. And everything is there. That's why when I saw that sutta, I decided to put it into our website. And then I knew why, when I started the year 2004, I want to call it the Kayamita group. Because from my past, this nature really know Kayanamita-ship is very important. Who are the Kayanamitas? There are two types of Kayanamita. The first type is the more general one. Kayanamita, they walk the path of Dhamma, understand? Cultivating the true Dhamma. Not any so-called person who cultivate Dhamma only. You know. It must be the true Dhamma. You know. Then only you qualify as a Kayanamita. You know. Then the second one is the Dhamma friend that has the Dhamma. That one is the noble one. Yeah. That's why the Buddha said, noble friends is 100% of the holy life. If you don't have noble friends, you cannot become enlightened. Because to realize enlightenment, the first prerequisite is to have noble friends. Even the Sammasambuddha, they also have noble friends before they become practitioner or cultivator. So noble friends is 100% of the holy life. At first, Ananda taught 50%. He told the Buddha, "Oh, Kayanamita is very important. Noble friends very important. I think it's 50% of the holy life," because he thought that the other 50 is keep the monk's precept, practice this. The Buddha said, "No, Kayanamita, noble friend, is 100% of the holy life." That's why now you understand how all this teaching come about and how when I started, I choose the word Kayanamitas. Yeah. Until now, until today. So both the enlightenment sequence and the avijja sequence, they actually either terminate at the last sequence where the avijja sequence is, you don't have Dhamma friends or noble friends. And because of that, the whole avijja cycle, all the 9 of them, straight away up to the top, avijja, very strong. Then the enlightenment sequence also ends with noble friends. Means you have to have noble friends as a starting point, as a prerequisite for cultivation. To start the journey, you must have noble friends. That's why having noble friends are very important. That's why under the Mangala Sutta, you remember? I think Pamasuri's house got that chana. Suyan's house last time also have. Mangala Sutta, the 38 blessing. The first one is what? Associated with? Noble friends. Wise one. They call it the wise one or noble friend. So associate with the wise. That's why when we chant, when we invoke power of merit, imina punyang kamina, by the power of this merit, may we always avoid the foolish, meet up with the wise, so the enlightenment in the here and the now can be realized. So meeting up with the wise is to meet up with the noble ones, understand that? The enlightened beings, the noble ones. So all this points to the same message. And the Buddha's essential Dhamma is all the same, manifesting in different places. Like he said, heedfulness is the path to the depth. They are all connected, linked in the Avijja Sutta, very clearly. You need sati sampajana to become heedful. That's why you need to be mindful, stabilize it to be ever mindful. Then have clear comprehension to cultivate correctly, ever mindful, constantly meditative. Then only the whole cultivation kick off. So with this, hopefully, you will reflect on the teaching again, develop clear understanding, then diligently cultivate, develop the understanding following the Avijja Sutta. The Avijja Sutta and the Four Noble Truths, they are all linked together. And it's not difficult. You look at the Avijja Sutta, okay, now I want to share this one. I shared before. As Kayanamita, you know how much advantage you have or not. Of the 10-step enlightenment sequence, the first 3, every Kayanamita has. True or not? You have Dhamma friend, you have opportunity, time to listen to the true Dhamma, you have faith in the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, the first 3. Don't tell me by now you still don't have faith. You still want to change religion. Then too bad. Then after that, the fourth one is not difficult. Contemplate, reflect, initial wisdom. Yoniso manasikara. So out of the 10, you at least have 4. Then sense restraint. Develop mindfulness. Sincerely cultivate precept. Follow the advice of the Buddha to maintain your precept, to develop sense restraint. Is it that difficult? Is it that difficult? It's not difficult, is it? Keeping precept is what? Out of love and compassion for you all, the Buddha advises you to keep. It's not for him, understand or not? If you don't avoid all evil by keeping precept, what will happen to you? You will be heedless. If you are heedless, you are as if dead, coming downfall. You don't have the chance to awaken. There is no spiritual life. So, keeping precept leading to sense restraint is number 5. Then after that, enlightenment in the here and the now will be there. Because after that, the sense restraint will guarantee at least you become a sotapanna or a sakadagami. And the sense restraint is not able to break the 5 precepts anymore. That's it. That's why when you are incapable of negativity, breaking the five precepts, the three types of pure conduct or right conduct will manifest. Then you will have right thought, right speech, right action. Because you cannot violate the precept anymore. You cannot arise the wrong thought, wrong speech, and the wrong action. That's why precept is very important. Sila. And the Buddha always chant this. The monk also chant this. He always administer the five precepts. Then, after that, he said, Imani pancasika padani. These are the five precepts. Then, silena sukantinyanti. What is that? Sila is the source of? What is sukantin? Sukang is that? Source of spiritual happiness and joy. That's why you keep your precept, your mind has this spiritual happiness and joy. Then silena, the second one is what? Silena sukantinyanti, silena sopka sampadan. Spiritual peacefulness. Oh, sorry. precept is the source of spiritual, what do you call it already? Wealth. You will receive spiritual wealth. So, silena sugantinyanti. Silena boga sampadan. Spiritual wealth. Then last one is silena nibuntinyanti. Sila is the source of spiritual peacefulness of mind. Calmness of mind. Stillness of mind. So you have joy, you have spiritual wealth, and you have calmness of mind. Stillness of mind. That's why with sila, samadhi will kick in. You don't have sila. You don't have joy. You don't have the spiritual wealth. You don't have the peacefulness of mind, the stillness of mind. You cannot have samadhi. You cannot cultivate. Because people who break the five precepts, you know what happened to them or not. It lead to calming downfall. When it lead to calming downfall, what happened? The five mental hindrance keep on arising. Means they have avijja. That's why they don't even have the right view to avoid all evil to good and purify the mind. Avijja condition them to be heedless, to break the precepts. That's why they will have mental hindrance. So the new treatment for avijja is mental hindrance. The five mental hindrance. Then the avijja cycle will follow. So all these are very clearly explained in the Avijja Sutta and they manifest so clearly. That's why you have to really understand this sutta and determine seriously, sincerely, and with perseverance. Just cultivate, do it. And it's not difficult, I really explain. As Kayanamitta, the first six or seven actually should be there already. At least the first three or four is there already. So out of the ten, PG, you come and mark. First one you have not. Kayanamitta, having Dharma friend, you tick, whatever. You have. First one. Having Dharma friend. Listening, conditioned to listen to the true Dharma. Then faith in the triple gem. Yonisomanska you also have. Sikki pun cukup. Then mindfulness. This one maybe you have some.
Developing.
Yeah, developing. Haven't stabilized it. So this one, semi. You know what is semi? Tick, then circle on top. Semi. No, circle on top. No, just some curve it back. No, curve it back. Means partial. You don't know how to mark. You never a teacher before. Or you don't like to be a teacher. Like that. Tick, but not all. But sense restraint, I think most of you all have developed to a certain extent. You can still kill mosquito or not? Cannot already, isn't it? Yeah, you are so mindful. You scared the ant get drowned and all those things. So,
most of
So your sense restraint is already partial, also like this one. Understand or not? Then the three type of right conduct, most of you all developing. Understand or not? Like you cannot simply come out with the wrong speech, the harsh speech already, the angry, violent speech, the hate speech, the one that lead to division, cause people to backbite and say negative thing about people. You won't be able to do that anymore. That's why your sense restraint all will develop. And once you develop until here, the seven one, you are already home, at least a sotapan or a sakadagami. And then for foundation of mindfulness, you need longer time. That one, you really need to go through the third turning, the direct seeing. The mindfulness has to be very, very stable. Then the awakening, the insight into phenomena. And that one is the four foundation of mindfulness. Then after that, you keep on witnessing these seven factors of enlightenment within your daily life. Every day, the seven factors of enlightenment. First one, of course, sati is always there because your sati sampajana developed already. The first factor of enlightenment, sati, okay? Then second factor is what? Dharma investigation. Because of your stability of daily mindfulness, you will investigate the Dhamma. Every moment in life, every sense contact, they are your teacher. That's why I always say life itself is your greatest teacher. So, sati leading to Dhamma vichaya, which is Dhamma investigation, you will be doing it. And when you see the true Dhamma stand up to investigation, what happened to you? Your virya very strong. That is the third enlightenment factor. So when your virya is very strong, your sati is there, you will have pity, you will have joy, understand not? The fourth enlightenment factor. Then what you need is to silence everything, realize the true mind, to have paucity. Paucity is actually the silent mind, the true mind, the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind. So a cultivator, especially like we all, Kayamita, who do the awareness-based cultivation, your seven factors of enlightenment are there already most of the time. And those who know how to meditate, awareness-based, stabilize the awareness inside, very clear. Sati accumulate into samadhi. Then when you have samadhi, the last factor of enlightenment, which is upeka, will arise. Upeka is equanimity, born of what? Born of wisdom. That's why with sati and samadhi, you continue to see things as they are, develop understanding of how delusion come about, how living beings become the way they are, then how your own form and mind in the past also was like that. Then you straighten your view and you develop all the right understanding leading to wisdom, panya. When panya is there, then upeka, equanimity will be there. You will be at peace at every moment of sense experience. No matter what happened in life, how sick the world, no matter how terrible, you are at peace. Because you know, he know you, he know me. No mark of life, no mark of self, no mark of other, no mark of Dhamma. Everything is dependent, originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena, not what you think. That's why your mind is completely free. Then you know the five aggregate of form and mind is just a vehicle and a tool for us to come. Karmically conditioned. So use it. Do not be deluded by it. So all this understanding will fall into place. And they will arise as yoniso manasikara at every moment of sense experience. And that's how you live the noble life, the third phase of Dhamma. That's how you become enlightened being. It's not that difficult. Can understand? Huh? Can understand? Huh? Oh, like that also cannot understand. Don't know when only can understand. Explain until so clear already. Yeah? They say like the ala, walk to qiong, draw the drawing until out of the wall already. Okay, any question? Yeah? We still got 12 more minutes. Anybody want to add anything or ask any question or share anything? I mean, to be honest, the 10 sequence of enlightenment, you already have so many, at least 3. A lot of you are 4, 5, 6, or some even 7. Some going to 8 already. And number 9 is not difficult. Actually, enlightenment factor is always there. When you do awareness-based meditation, when you have sati sampajana, you will be investigating Dhamma every day, I tell you. Every moment, every instant. That's why I remember 1989, non-stop, when I was cultivating. That's how my nature come to know. Life itself is my greatest teacher. Nature is our greatest teacher. From life, we observe, we see, we awaken, we insight into phenomena. The universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta, they are everywhere in the midst of life and nature. Why can't you see? The one who see, they always see. Where they are silent, aware. That's why it awaken. And all these are unfolding everywhere, every instant, in the midst of life and existence. So this is what the true cultivation and understanding is. If you really cultivate it correctly, you will go through all this. You will have all this understanding and awakening. Like the Buddha said, ispacetang can be realized by the wise, each for themselves. And it's not difficult. Not difficult. Yeah. The other one to check is the avijja cycle. How many of the avijja cycle do you have? You have any of that you already kaulat leo? Of course, the first one, avijja, not easy to root out. That one, attenuated, also very good already. Once you develop right view, your avijja is reduced by a lot already. When you have right view with regards to law of karma, you will take care of karma. You will follow the advice of the Buddha. And that one actually transform you already as a living being. Character-wise, personality-wise, you will become different. You will transform for the better. Your life will change. Well, once you follow the advice of the Buddha, you will have the good life, the spiritual life. Yeah. Then when you go into the second right view, law of mind, when you develop sati sampajana, you can see paticca samuppada. You can see how you become what you are, how the conditioning, the wrong view, the belief system, the avijja, condition you into negativity. Then you straighten your view. You come out of it. Then you develop the mindfulness to see it, to abandon it, to awaken to it. Then straighten your view and transform. That is how it can be done. And it's not difficult. So the first two right view already so powerful. And when you cultivate the essential Dhamma, it lead to the third right view, especially the Four Noble Truths. So the three right view, law of karma, law of mind, and law of Dhamma, they actually will reduce your avijja tremendously. Even before you have the insight, they already attenuated it. And you have become so different. Because you have the Dhamma, understand? Means what? You have noble friends, kayamita, that lead to the condition of hearing the true Dhamma. And when you hear the true Dhamma, you know this three right view, it's very easy for you to develop the faith in the triple gem. True or not? Yeah? So the first three steps is automatic. All of you have. Then after that, contemplate, reflect to develop initial wisdom. Then stabilize your mindfulness leading to heedfulness. Then you are able to have sense restraint. Because by then your sati, sampajana, become very stable. Your daily mindfulness become very stable. That's why without daily mindfulness, you cannot penetrate step 5. Your contemplative wisdom only stop at step 4. Initial wisdom, you need so much sankara. That's why in the past you realize I always use the word initial wisdom. Initial wisdom. And now you understand why. Yeah, at that time, I already knew. Yeah, as I go through the cultivation, I knew the later wisdom, which is the third turning one, is very, very potent. It really insight into phenomena and awaken. That's why third turning is all about enlightenment in the here and the now. It's no more a contemplative wisdom. Today, I think we covered very good topic of understanding. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let us rejoice.